Dwell within us, O Spirit of God. Seed within us your word, that it may spring with new life, life abundant. And may that life flow from us as a sign of blessing to your world. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Life is a mystery. Everyone must stand alone. I hear you call my name, and it feels like home. A name is one of the first gifts we are given. Long before we choose anything for ourselves, someone speaks a name over us. It may be whispered at a bedside, announced with joy, or carried with hope into an uncertain future. Names locate us. They tether us to story, memory, and relationship. To hear our names spoken with love can steady us. To have it ignored or distorted can wound us deeply. Many of us know the experience of being called something other than who we truly are, reduced to a role, a label, a category. And we also know the healing power of being named rightly. A name spoken truthfully can feel like home. At the heart of our readings this morning runs a quiet but persistent question. What is your name, and where do you belong? Or perhaps more precisely, who calls your name, and where does that calling lead you? The prophet Isaiah opens not with a command, but with an address. And then comes the startling claim, "The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me." Before vocation comes naming. Before mission comes relationship. Before the servant is sent, the servant is known. In Scripture, names are never incidental. To name is to claim, to recognize, to draw into relationship. God does not merely assign tasks. God speaks names. And in speaking names, God creates a place where life can be lived in truth. And right from the very first movement in the poem of creation, God invites humanity to name all of creation. And it's after Adam has named all of creation that he recognized that there is nothing, there is no one that enables him to get a sense of his full humanity. Who we name, what we name, determines and qualifies the nature of our relationship with them. That dynamic of a God who names echoes through our gospel reading. John the Baptist does not hold on to his disciples. Instead, he names another. "Here is the Lamb of God." Notice what happens next. Jesus does not issue a summons or deliver a sermon. He turns and asks a question of breathtaking simplicity. What are you looking for? Or actually, if we draw from the deep meaning of the Hebrew word that is used in John's gospel, what is your desire? What is your longing? What is your life, your life's quest? The very first words uttered by Jesus in John's gospel. perhaps an indication of what we need to be attentive to as we read through John's Gospel, an outworking of this very question and the answer that is offered. What are you looking for? And they reply with a question of their own, Rabbi, where are you staying? The word John uses here means remain, abide, to dwell. It's not a question about Jesus' address. It's not about geolocation. It is a question about belonging. Where do you make your home? Where does life rest within you? Jesus' answer is equally simple. Come and see. Not come and understand, not come and agree, not come, but simply come and see. Come and dwell. Come and stay long enough for something to be revealed to you. And it is there, in that shared dwelling, that names begin to change. Simon becomes Peter, perhaps a prefiguration of what is yet to come. John puts the renaming of Simon right at the beginning of the story. A life begins to take shape around a call that is no longer abstract, but deeply personal. I hear you call my name, and it feels like home. Lyrics drawn from popular culture give voice to a deeply biblical intuition that home is not first a place, but a relationship. Home is where we are named truthfully. Home is where our fragmented selves are gathered and held. This is precisely the pastoral heartbeat of Paul's words to the Corinthians. He writes to a community riven by anxiety, by competition and division. And before addressing any problem, he anchors them in who they already are, called to be saints, called into the fellowship of God's Son. Paul does not begin with correction, but with calling. He reminds them that their belonging precedes their behavior, that they are held, sustained, and kept not by their own coherence, but by the faithfulness of God who calls them. To be at home in Christ, then, is not to have everything sorted. It is to dwell within a grace that is prior to our success and deeper than any of our failures. Isaiah's servant knows this too. There is a moment of deep vulnerability in that first reading we heard. I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing. Even one called and named by God can feel lost, exhausted, unsure of their place. And yet the servant's trust is not in achievement, but in the quality of their relationship with the one who calls them. Yet surely, my cause, says Isaiah, is with the Lord. Home in the life of faith is not the absence of struggle. Instead, it is the presence of trust. It is knowing where to return when our sense of purpose falters. So what might this mean for us practically as those seeking to follow Christ? I wonder whether first it invites us to listen again for the way Christ calls our name. Not the name given by fear, failure, or other people's expectations, but the name spoken by love. This kind of listening requires stillness and intentional prayer. This very Simon Peter, who right from the very beginning of John's Gospel is named, vocalized into being, into relationship. At the very end of John's Gospel, you may recall how Jesus, on that breakfast by the sea, recalls his name. Not as a place of dismissing and discarding him, but as an invitation to remember whose he is and what purpose he was called into. Called in love, for life, and for love. And so as we listen attentively, we may want to gather that listening into prayer practices. And two simple practices that I would like to offer to you that may be of help, and some of you may already be familiar with them. One is the ancient prayer of attentive silence, sitting quietly and gently repeating a phrase to one's heart. And I'm going to invite us into just a simple practice, and this simple practice. It's often called a breath prayer, one in which we tune not just our ears and our heart and our minds, but where we mobilize our whole body in this exercise of listening. And so I'm going to invite you to simply relax, however comfortable or uncomfortable the pews may feel. Just relax, be aware of your surroundings, and you might want to close your eyes if that's better for you. And you become aware of the rhythm of your breath, the air you inhale and the one you exhale, the life that courses through your body. And you might want to start settle your breath and take a much more measured way of breathing, inhaling deeply and exhaling. I'm going to ask you to continue to inhale deep and exhale equally as deeply. And as you inhale, I will use the words, "Speak, Lord," and you inhale deeply. And as you exhale, I will use the words, "Your servant is listening." And through that exercise, you might simply want to tune in your whole body, your whole person, to the God who calls you. And so breathe in deep and exhale. You breathe in, "Speak, Lord." We exhale, "Your servant is listening." Breathe in, "Speak, Lord." You exhale, "Your servant is listening." Breathe in, "Speak, Lord." You exhale, "Your servant is listening." I've found this practice hugely helpful. Not least because it settles me within my body, but because it enables me to be attentive to whatever God's Spirit enabled to rise within me. This is something you can do on your own, but it is something that I found quite powerful done as part of a group as well. And it's the practice that you can find on the Diocesan website, in fact. I will make sure to pass on the detail and so you can find them. But on the Way of Life resources on the London Diocese website, you can find this and many other practices. And so as you allow that, allow whatever rises within you to be held without judgment, you also open yourself to the voice of God that speaks to you. Another practice is to pray with the gospel itself, slowly reading Jesus' words, come and see, and imaginatively placing yourselves and placing ourselves into the scene, listening for how God speaks to me, how God speaks to us. And therefore, prayer becomes not a performative act. So prayer becomes not just about saying the right words, but about making space to be addressed. Second, it is to consider where we are trying to make a home instead of the chaos of the world. In approval, certainty, control, productivity, or belonging by performance, these can feel like shelter, but they are often fragile shelters and constantly demanding places that are more saturated with life, more enlivening. Finding shelter in Christ looks like learning where we can rest without pretending. It looks like bringing our exhaustion, our doubts, our disappointment into prayer rather than hiding them. It looks like trusting that we do not need to earn the right to remain. Jesus does not say, come and see if you qualify. He simply says, come and see. Come and stay. Hang with me. And finally, it calls to become a dwelling place for others. If Christ is the one in whom we find home, then the church is called to reflect that hospitality. This matters deeply in a time when distorted visions of belonging are on the rise, visions that confuse faith with nationalism, discipleship with dominance, and belonging with assimilation. Christian nationalism promises home, but only at the cost of exclusion and subjugation. It demands that some must shrink, conform, or disappear so that others may feel safe, secure. But the gospel offers a different vision. As Brené Brown reminds us, belonging is not fitting in. True belonging does not require us to erase ourselves. It does not demand cultural, racial, or ideological uniformity. It asks only that we come as we are, named and known, trusted and entrusted by God. The church then is most faithful when it resists narratives that trade grace for power and instead becomes a place where people are named with care rather than reduced to categories, where difference is not a threat but a gift, where belonging is received, not policed. I hear you call my name and it feels like home. To follow Christ is not merely to assent to a belief, but it is to dwell in a relationship, to remain where mercy lives, to stay long enough for our names and sometimes our lives to be reshaped. And perhaps the good news today is this: before we seek him, God has already named us. Before we find our way home, God has already made room. Come and see. he still says. And in that coming, we discover that home was never a place we had to build, but a presence we are invited to dwell in, a relationship that make and remakes us into the people God had called us to be. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. As I came to church this morning, I know it was a bit drizzly and grey, but we have so much to be thankful to God for. And I thank God for our wonderful world. And I thank God that we can come to church and we can worship without fear of violence. I thank God that as a female, I've had the freedom to have an education and a fulfilling career. I thank God that as a mum, I haven't had to wave my kids off to war. And when I watch the television, read the newspapers, and see all the awful things that are happening, what are we doing to our wonderful world that you created, Lord? So much of it seems to be covered in darkness. We thank you that Jesus Christ has been born to dispel this darkness. When I say, Jesus, light of the world, will you please respond, shine on us? There is so much darkness, so much hatred in our world. Creator God, we pray for all those countries that are being torn apart by war and terrorism. Iran, Afghanistan, Sudan, Ukraine, and so many, many more. So many people suffering, starvation, displacement from their homes. We pray for all those caught up in violence. So many women and children killed or injured while simply trying to live their lives. God of compassion and peace, shine your light in places round the world where violence and war are found. With your light, bring peace to those who languish in fear and despair. Help those in power to encourage reconciliation rather than revenge, friendship rather than aggression, and flexibility rather than stubborn intransigence. Jesus, light of the world, shine on us. Lord, we are so fortunate that we have the freedom to worship in your name. Never let us take this for granted. Grant to all those from whom that blessing is withheld that they may know again the freedom to worship you without fear. We pray for followers of different faiths across the world. Give us grace to learn from one another. We pray for the Church of England, our diocese, and for our parish. We pray for those who minister in our church, especially for the ministry of Lyndon and Barbara. We pray for Bishop Sarah as she prepares for her new role and for Bishop Lucer in his ministry. Help us to be a church where all are welcome and one where your love shines through. Jesus, light of the world, shine on us. God of power and mercy, shine your light on our royal family and the leaders of our nation, that they may govern wisely and justly, taking into account the needs and concerns, not just of the wealthy and powerful, but especially those who are poor, struggling to pay bills and to provide food, those who struggle with mental and physical illness, and those who are lonely. Jesus, light of the world, shine on us. Almighty God, who cares for all people, whatever their race, colour or creed, whether believer or unbeliever, we bring to you those in situations where people live in despair, where life threatens to overwhelm them. We bring them to you, knowing that you care more than we can know or understand. Lord of wholeness and healing, we pray for all those who are suffering and all those caring for them, seeking to bring respite, healing, and peace. We bring to you those who are known to us who need your healing power and for other needs. Earl Adams, Elizabeth Bellow, Noel Stephen, Elizabeth Francis, Malcolm George, Joyce Nicolay, Sue Nichols, Emily Rockingham, Pam Storey, Marion Twentyman, Martin Vowles, and Angela Zadurian. Grant them your healing, Lord. Jesus, light of the world, shine on us. Merciful God, your love and light reaches beyond the grave. May those who have gone before us rest in your eternal peace. We remember before you those who have died, and we pray for those whose life is saddened by the death of a loved one. Be with them in their grief. May we support them with our prayers and practical help. We remember with thanksgiving the anniversaries of William Kopas, Douglas Willis, William Grice, Mary O'Dell, Ethel Godwin, and Olga Jarvis. Jesus, light of the world, shine on us. Thank you for the light that shines through our community, reminding us of your presence. Shine your light on us, around us, and within us, that we too may be a light to the world. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.